This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. The national rate of teenage pregnancies has been dropping over the last 20 years, but the latest figures from Health and Human Services show there's still a birth rate of about 24 per 1,000 among women ages 15 to 19. And being a young mother can be a struggle. And here to talk about teen pregnancies are founder of Rosemary's Babies, Rosemary Oglesby Henry, Rosemary's Babies board member, trauma specialist, foster care trainer, and parent, Pat McCollum, program director at Cincinnati Children's Every Child Succeeds program, Margaret Clark, and assistant professor of obstetrics and gynecology at the University of Cincinnati College of Medicine, Dr. Andrea Hamill. And you can join our conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Pat, Rosemary, Margaret, and Dr. Hamill, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Rosemary, do we have any idea as far as how many teenage mothers there are in Cincinnati? Has anyone ever tracked that number or looked at it?
The last data that I could actually find was from about 2013, 2014, and those numbers were still pretty high. It was over 10,000 teen parents during that time.
What's the trend been with teenage pregnancies in our area? Is it a number that's gone up, or are we seeing it down, or is it just holding steady?
There is a decline because there's a lot of prevention that's out there. However, it's still a problem.
Mm-hmm. Pat, what are the challenges that teenage mothers face?
I think a lot of teen moms actually has sometimes traumatized, have had several events prior to them becoming pregnant, and it carries over. That can create many, many problems from these young ladies.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Hamill, what about from your perspective? What kind of challenges do you see for teenage mothers?
Many of our teenage mothers have faced many challenges in life and then continue to face many challenges as well. This may be from their background, their family environment, school environment, and then moving forward, as well as with their current relationship or the childcare issues moving forward and their future success.
And Margaret, what are your thoughts on this?
I agree with everything that's been said. I think parenting under the best of circumstances is the hardest job anyone will ever do, much less having, you know, risk factors having to do with poverty, being teenage and unmarried. So we work to create support systems for teen moms and family support and coaching during that prenatally until their child is age 3.
Rosemary, from your experiences, are these younger teenagers, 14, 15 years old? Are they older teenagers? What's more common?
Yeah, recently I've had a lot of calls from teens that were 14 because they can contact us through any type of social media. And a lot of teenagers, 14, 13, have been contacting me through Instagram, through our direct messaging, you know, talking about their problems, you know. I'm pregnant. I don't know what to do. I'm scared. You know, so I've seen a lot of lower age youth.
How much stigma surrounds being a teenage mother, and how much is that keeping them from reaching out to get help, Pat?
I think it's a big percentage of the stigma that makes children, all young ladies, and we also see males also, not wanting to share this information because of, as you say, the stigma on it. You know, they don't want... they go into a state of depression and withdrawal, and yet this creates other problems for them. They don't get the prenatal help that they need, and then it goes from there.
You know, so the health of the mom and the baby is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
After that, what would be the next major thing that has to be taken care of?
Is education, stability. Teen parents need support. Again, with your question previously, a lot of teen parents are ostracized and judged, and they feel like, you know, it was a mistake But not the baby, of course, but what you did. And it's just an obstacle. So they're judged on how they, you know, how they became pregnant, what their situation was. Instead of looking at the situation, this is an obstacle that they have to overcome. How can we support these young moms and dads?
Mm-hmm. Margaret.
I think that non-judgmental care is key. And we work very hard to build rapport with our mothers and trust. And it's so important that they know that we believe in them, and that gives them the confidence to achieve their goals. We target first-time moms, which is why a large percentage of them are teen. We served 600 teen moms last year. We have home-based services, so we're going in the home and working on creating a positive parent-child bond, making sure that the home environment is safe and stimulating, and seeing that they finish school and even go on to achieve, you know, post-high school education.
Trust is actually a big factor. They don't trust because a lot of times they have been disappointed over and over again, so they don't trust.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They don't trust.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Hamill, I'd like to get your thoughts on that as well.
Oftentimes with our teenage patients, we will have late entry into prenatal care, and there's many factors in that. First is oftentimes our patients have not recognized that they are pregnant, or there's a certain denial for a
Absolutely.
Period of time. There's also significant mental health issues as well, and I think that had been brought up about some of the depression and the different feelings that come out of the situation. There's also the social factor of sometimes there's a breakdown of the family support as well in this situation. One of our large goals here at UC Health is to help all of our patients to achieve a healthy pregnancy, and that's getting our women into prenatal care and getting them the support that they need to take care of themselves and to have a healthy pregnancy. Our teen pregnant patients are higher risk of preterm delivery as well as infant mortality. And so it's something
yes.
that we offer a lot of support services. And I'd like to, if I have time, to tell you a little bit about a program that we offer here called Centering Pregnancy, if that would be all right.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Just a minute. Okay.
So that's one of the things we will be discussing. So, yes, go right ahead.
Okay, great. This is a model of group prenatal care that's actually a nationwide thing, and we do have groups here at UC and UC Health, and it's where women are encouraged to take a more active role in their pregnancy and birth process while helping support each other. This is open to our teen pregnant patients, and we really do encourage them to come because there's a lot of social support, there's case management opportunities, there's our social workers involved, and there's a wide variety of healthcare providers as well. It works by bringing together approximately 10 to 12 women who are within 4 weeks of gestation of each other. And this is a group that stays together until delivery and then even their postpartum visits. Each visit, there's a group facilitated discussion, some active learning, and then one-on-one time with a provider as well. So there's a set stability to this that our patients really do appreciate. Each visit focuses on some different topics and some of the most important things, which include healthy lifestyle choices, safe sleep, reproductive life planning to then prevent unplanned pregnancies or to safely plan future pregnancies. And then many other things like stress management, infant bonding, mental health, and a whole lot of different things that we offer. We've been thrilled with this program.
How long has it been going on, Dr. Hamill?
We've been doing this for a few years now, and we've got great data that shows it's decreased our preterm delivery rates with these specific groups, as well as cesarean section rates, and then increased breastfeeding initiation and postpartum visit rates.
Rosemary, let's have you tell us some about Rosemary's Babies, because we want to know how your organization got started and what your mission is as well.
Right, right. Just listening to the programs through Every Child Succeed in Children's Hospital, they're absolutely great. I think that collaboration is huge when it comes to the care and well-being of teen parents and working collaboratively with these organizations that most of the time Rosemary's Babies does refer them to get that additional support. What Rosemary's Babies does is we are an online platform listening to and just understanding the needs of teen parents. They can't always get to these programs. They can't always get to doctor's appointments. They can't always get to their mentors. So we took a look at the child care issues and all of the barriers that keep them from getting support. And we decided to create an online platform for them to be able to get support 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They can contact us through any social media, Facebook, Twitter, our website. Text us, call us at 813-TEEN. Another thing that we do is we support them with the real life issues and the real life challenges. It's not enough just to teach how to budget, but how to problem solve. What is needs versus necessities? Because a lot of them don't understand this. Just listening to, I had a person call the other day. A lot of times there are barriers to even getting care. I had a teen dad's mom call me because the teen mom's mom was angry. The teen mom's mom was angry because she was pregnant and she refused to get her health care. The teen mom didn't know her health insurance information. You know, this was a huge barrier for her. And so, you know, there's only so much that this teen mom could do. And that puts her in a very volatile place, especially her child, because, you know, by the time she gets to the hospital, how long will it be? At the time that she contacted our organization, she was 90 days pregnant. So, you know, it was very difficult to talk her through that in reporting and things like that. I work very closely with Ms. Pat here, who does social services and is able to walk her through the process of getting help.
How many people have used your website? Do you have any idea on that?
Yeah, so I just recently launched in November. Very proud of that. Currently, we've taken and referred over 100 people. Yay. But we've had about 3,000 touch our websites through social media. We don't just serve individuals in Cincinnati, but we serve anyone globally. They can contact us 24 hours a day. Very proud of the people that work with us, our volunteers, and people that support our mission, because most of the individuals that work with us were teen parents, and they're assisting me in reaching back and helping these teen parents move forward.
Yeah, Pat Rosemary mentioned teen fathers.
Yes.
How do you reach out to teen fathers?
Well, they usually call in and
they're already pretty engaged.
They have the same issues that sometimes the mom has. And so what we try to do is address each individual differently for whatever issues that they have. Mm-hmm. And I'm also ex-teen mom. Old teen mom.
So you're speaking from experience.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Margaret, what about Every Child Succeeds? Do you make an effort to reach out to the teen dads as well?
Absolutely. We're in the home, and one of the issues that we work on is getting the whole family involved in rearing the child. So whatever the mom's support system is, when you work with teen moms, you generally have her mother also involved in the home visit, and then we encourage father also to be involved, and we have groups in certain communities and specific groups for dads there too. We have found it's very important to get fathers involved during the prenatal period. That's a good time to get them engaged.
And Dr. Hamill, from your perspective, how important is it to get the dads engaged? How do you reach out to them?
Of course, they're always welcome to come to any prenatal visits or ultrasounds or any other testing, and we do try to make it a very family-centered or relationship-centered appointment if possible.
What about working with the parents of teen mothers to create a support network? How do you engage parents?
Right. Definitely. Our program actually is to support teen parents and parents of teen parents. You know, a lot of teen parents, parents of teen parents, they are upset, but not upset at, okay, my child is pregnant, but more of how do I help them overcome these barriers? As parents, we're protectors. You know, we want to protect them from certain things, but we have to train them in a different type of way. So again, we use a realistic approach to this because, your child is now a parent. So they're caught in that in between. And a book can't teach you how to be a parent. You know, it's taking that process and problem solving and learning to master self-leadership, which what our mission is, empowering ourselves and moving forward and saying, what is the plan? What is the next step? And that's what we work with teen parents, parents of teen parents, and especially teen dads. I find that there are not a lot of services for these teen dads because they are themselves ostracized by the child's mother sometimes because they're angry or whatever that is. And teen dads don't understand the child support system and they don't understand what their rights are. So we really work closely with them in saying, you know what, don't be scared of these things. You have a place in that child's life. Let's define where it is and get you the support that you need and the care that you need.
Pat, did you want to build on what
you
said? You
know, one of the things I find is that the things that we do for a teen mom, we don't ever think about doing for teen dads. Let's say if the dads wants to step up to the plate and be the dad and mom's not in the picture. What would you give this teen mom? I know that you won't give that teen dad. I see it happen all the time. Mm-hmm. You won't give that teen dad child care or food stamps. I mean, it's changing now, but just think about it. They don't do that. Because for some reason, they don't think that their dads are ever going to be in the picture. But they are stepping up to the plate. Sometimes they are the caregiver.
Yeah, like you were saying earlier, yes. they actually contact you most of the time. Is that,
yes.
Okay.
Right. We're finding more and more that the socioeconomics of teen parenting has changed. And teen dads are taking custody of their children because these teen moms are being confined. Their children are being taken by social services. Or more importantly, like she talked about depression, some of them are not equipped to be parents. You're a child. You're not equipped to be a parent. But again, walking with them, talking with them, and helping them to understand that somebody else walked through it too. Not the same situation, but we understand. And I think that empathy, I can't remember what she called it earlier, but that understanding care is what helps them to move forward.
Dr. Hamill, what's the biggest message you think people need to understand? What's the big thing people need to understand about teen parenting? What do you think it is?
It can be exceptionally challenging, though not impossible, and that moving forward, the best thing we need to do in our community is really support these teen parents the best that we can and offer them a lot of services. And I'm so glad to learn about the things today that we've talked about in a lot of the different organizations, and we just need to make sure we're accessible to these teen parents.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Margaret, what would be your message? What's the big thing people need to understand about teen parenting?
Oh, well, that support is available, and our future depends on breaking the cycle and having children get the best possible start that they can in life, and help is available. So if the community cares about you and the outcome.
Mm-hmm. Rosemary, what would you say?
That teen parenting is basically an obstacle that gives you an opportunity to blossom. I was listening to the show before we came in, and one of the speakers said, you can teach an adult to read and you can change their life. But what I think that she forgot is the ongoing that happens after that. You taught that adult to read, but guess what? It changes the legacy and the outlook of the future of their children and their children's children. And that's what we're trying to do at Rosemary's Babies. We believe that you can change the legacy of your children so that it stops at you. Teen pregnancy doesn't have to be a generational curse. It doesn't have to be a cycle of generational poverty, but somebody has to first take ownership in that. My legacy definitely matters to me, and it was important for teen pregnancy to stop with me.
Pat, Rosemary, Margaret, and Dr. Hamill, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon. Much appreciated. The founder of Rosemary's Babies, Rosemary Oglesby Henry, Rosemary's Babies board member, trauma specialist, foster care trainer and parent, Pat McCollum, program director at Cincinnati Children's Every Child Succeeds program, Margaret Clark, and assistant professor of obstetrics and gynecology at the UC College of Medicine, Dr. Andrea Hamill.